This is the 423rd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the beat reporter for the AJC. Today, the Falcons went down 24-16 to the Washington Commanders, snapping a five-game home winning streak. The Falcons had their opportunities to pull out the game, but Desmond Ridder threw an ill-advised pass off his back foot into the end zone that cost the Falcons a prime scoring opportunity late in the game. The Falcons did not rebound from that. The defense got them the ball back again, but then the offense couldn't. They were moving, but then kind of got a little bit disorganized, had procedural issues. Had to call a timeout. It just was not a very good close to the game for the Falcons as they dropped to 3-3 on the season. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's get right to it. This was a game the Falcons, a lot of people had the Falcons winning. Washington was coming in here, you know, on a three-game losing streak, had given up 30 points in each of their last three games, but they would not give up over 20 today. Let's get right to it. We got a lot from the locker room today, and so we're going to get right to it. Here is Coach Arthur Smith on Desmond Ridder's interception in the end zone late in the game.
The penalty. And then we, clock was stopped. We got to delay a game, right? Change the scenario. And we got to be a lot cleaner there, and we will. You know, we had some guys needed to come out, and some of our operations weren't very clean. So we'll get that fixed. And then on the third down, obviously the play extension, and a little miscommunication. And that's on all of us. So we have to get that fixed.
Yeah, the miscommunication, Desmond said London went one way, he threw it another to a different spot, and, the guy was right there. So, miscommunication, bad throw? I don't know. We're going to go with bad, ill-advised throw. All right, Arthur Smith on a late timeout to avoid a delay of game penalty.
Trying to get different guys in, was he up, was he down? And then a little bit of lack of, communication coming out of the huddle. Somebody asked something, slowed them down. So I wasn't going to take the delay there. Like I said, we got to do a better job.
Yep, no question about it. Disorganized. He went into that a lot on the procedural issues and some of the things that were going on down the stretch. And here's the next question here for Coach is about those procedural issues they had in the final 2 minutes.
Well, guys were coming out. I mean, we made some big plays coming in and out, and we have a substitution, under 2 minutes. As you know, they don't have to stay over the ball when you do sub under 2 minutes with moving clocks. So we're just trying to get a breather. And, so got in there, got a play to Peru, got the thing going, got it to that third and one, and then you think you have two shots, and unfortunately we had to burn the timeout. But either way, we still had our opportunities, and Davis undercut it and made the play.
They cut it to 24-16, and Coach Smith explains why he went for two.
We did it last year in L.A. You're down 14. You're in the fourth quarter. Those are the consequences you live with. We did it in L.A. I believe we got it to six. We did it in Tampa last year, right down there. Down 14, late. Got two shots at it. You get it. It's a six-point game. But we've done it before, like I said. And then we even got the penalty, got on the one, and they stopped us. But, yeah, we did it last year, Michael, twice.
And, you know, last week, Desmond Ridder threw for a career-high 326 yards, no interceptions. But today, looked like he went backwards a little bit, 307 yards and three interceptions. So we asked Coach Smith if Desmond Ridder took a step back today.
I mean, look, you get in those situations, and as they change up looks, and, you know, like I said, they made a play on the ball, the one coming out, I believe, to the field, right? In the third quarter, the guy undercut Van, I believe. And then they turned that in there. I believe they scored off the screen off of that to Robinson. And then the right, going out, rolling around. You know, unfortunately, the delay happened. So it's not, like I said, it's not going to be good enough when you do stuff like that. Those self-inflicted wounds. And like I said, you're throwing the ball away. The guy was right there. So clearly took points off the board. Just, we've got to be better, and we will. That hasn't been an issue, but it clearly was today, Jeff.
Well, the defensive line, the Falcons came alive, had five sacks. I didn't look up the quarterback hits. We'll go through that when we do our notes. But here's Coach Arthur Smith on the defensive line play.
We've been getting a lot of pressure, Zach. So we found ways to affect the quarterback. Today, they happened to turn into sacks. They've been pretty damn good all year. Different. I mean, again, that's the first thing people look at, sacks. It necessarily doesn't tell the story. It was good to get them, and we got them at big time today. But we're just trying to find ways to affect the quarterback.
Well, one of the big highlights for the day for the Falcons was Calais Campbell getting his 100th career sack. So Calais was happy about that. He called it a bittersweet day. The fact that they did not win when he achieved a goal that he set for himself as a young football player. Here's Calais Campbell on his 100th sack.
I think the best part about it was just the genuine happiness, you know, all my teammates had for me, you know, just running around and just like seeing like how hype everybody was, you know, and coming to the sideline, like, I mean, literally, I feel like everybody come and dap me up and just gave me some love, and that was a good feeling. You know, would have loved to win the game and, you know, have a better reason to celebrate, but I was talking with Grady and he was like, man, hey, you just did something that very few people do. I know you love this game so much that you get frustrated in these losses, but he said, man, you should feel real proud about that. Celebrated, so you know, he definitely got me in a better mood because I hate losing, but you know, it does feel good to reach a milestone that I dreamt about since I was a kid.
All right, Calais also had some, you know, 17-year veteran, so you want to always know what's going on in the locker room from his vantage point. And here today, he, you know, we talked about evaluating this loss and what the team needs to find another gear moving forward.
Yeah, we'll watch the tape and we'll figure it out. But I feel like there's still just too many mistakes here and there that lead to big points, you know. And as far as our defense, man, we're so talented, so gifted. And, you know, we have to have this mentality, you know, this accountability that allows us to go to that higher level. You know, I feel like, you know, we're playing good defense, 100%, without a doubt. But there's another gear there that I just want us to get to, you know, and I think it really starts with just a mentality, you know, I was talking with Grady, it's a will, inside you, you know, and I think in the fourth quarter when the game was on the line, you saw it, you know, you could feel it, like, and nothing they could do, we were just going to keep coming, and we got to get that in the first quarter and for the whole 60 minutes, and I think, you know, that's something where we just got to keep maturing as a team. I mean, this is a new defense, a lot of new guys with each other, and so I think as we continue evolving, we have to get to that level where we can just dominate opponents, you know. I feel like, you know, you gotta definitely appreciate, you know, just playing ball, you know, competing and give yourself a chance to win. You're not going to win them all, but there's definitely another gear here that I feel like we need to hit very soon. So we'll see how it goes.
And Grady Jarrett, he was one of the guys to congratulate Calais Campbell. And here he is on F. It's encouraging that they got to the quarterback. And Calais Campbell got his 100th sack.
Absolutely, absolutely encouraging, you know, to see us get to the quarterback and definitely trusting the process, you know, where it came to life today. And everybody, you know, got a little piece on the day, you know, none bigger than Mr. 100. You know what I'm saying? So congratulations to Calais, man, and happy he accomplished that feat. Only a few players in NFL history ever have, man, so that's awesome. But at the end of the day, man, we just got to go back to work. You know, definitely a hard one today, but we got to learn from it and, you know, do what we do.
Arnold Ebiketie got his first sack today, too. Here's what he had to say about the pass rush.
You know, I was right, you know, had the sacks and the hurries and the hits. It was a matter of the sacks coming. How did it feel to get that pressure on him today?
It felt good. You know, it just came down to the combination of the front seven, the back end doing their job and making the quarterback kind of hold the ball, disguising the coverage a little bit more. And I think we did a pretty good job doing that this game.
And setting them out in the second half when y'all needed to, you know, how did that feel to get that done?
It feels good. You know, it's a momentum builder. We know going into the next game, we understand that when we're able to pressure the quarterback and make him uncomfortable the way that we did today, it helps our defense give the ball back to the offense.
It's 3-3. It feels like y'all, you know, in a pretty good spot, still putting stuff together. How do you feel, or what is the sense of the
Like we just have to get over the hump. You know, for so long we'll be going back and forth in terms of winning and losing. It's time for us to go on that stretch, kind of stack up those wins.
Outside linebacker Bud Dupree also addressed the state of the team. And he also told me that he was responsible for not getting the quarterback on that 4th-and-1 RPO. They all leaned in to Brian Robinson. Howell pulled the ball out and snuck around Bud Dupree's end for 4 yards. And he said he should have stopped that. His instincts told him to stay on the quarterback. He didn't do it. He went and followed the pile. And the Commanders picked up a very big first down. Here's Bud Dupree on the state of the team.
Yeah, we got to kick it up, man. You know, we got to take another step. Plus, we'll be able to bounce back this week, you know, division game. This is always a beautiful thing coming in, especially with a lot of guys healthy right now. At this point in the season, every division game that we want to play is going to count. So now we got to just focus on winning the next game, finishing off each week 1-0, and everything will suit itself for the end of the season.
And, like, y'all knew they had just got blown out. They was going to come in with everything.
Try to change up.
Yeah, and do a
change. So, you know, man, we had chances, man. We didn't make the stops. Particularly me in the one moment on the 4th-and-1. I should have had that stop. I saw the play happen. I should have just trusted the instincts and went ahead and took it. Also, man, you know, just being able to be a cohesive football team, everyone play on the same page together. You know, we got to continue to grow in that aspect. And, you know, when defense on the field, we got to be on the field and hold ourselves accountable. We can't allow any plays to be made. You know, we got to cheer our offense and cheer special teams on as well.
All right. Safety, Jesse Bates, III, you know, he said they were trying to take away Sam Howell's favorite weapons. But we also wanted to know about, hey, what are some of the issues facing the team? How can they find another gear and assessing things at 3-3 on the season?
I think we got everything that we want ahead of us. You know, we just went 0-1 for the week. We got to find some way to create some more turnovers on defense. You know, it's hard to win, you know, when you're 0-3 in the turnover battle, and you know you give up a big return to special teams. So we're not going to overreact. You know, it's week 6. We're sitting at 3-3, which is going to be a lot of teams like this. We got a decision to make as a team. You know, got a great opportunity going to Tampa Bay next week for a divisional game. But like I said, we got everything that we want ahead of us.
All right, Trey Flowers, who started earlier in the season at cornerback, is now making plays on the special teams unit. He came from his outside gunner contain position and walked down Jamison Crowder at the 11-yard line on that 61-yard return. Only person I saw that had a shot at him, and I haven't looked at the film review, just one TV replay. It looked like the snapper had a shot at him. And I don't know if Josh Harris was here, maybe they get him down. But Liam McCullum was the closest thing I saw. And then we'll go back and look at it again because he busted it right up the middle. And Trey Flowers walked him down and got the tackle at the 11. Here's what Trey Flowers had to say on the 61-yard punt return.
I don't know. I got to watch the tape. Okay. He made a play.
He looked like he went up the middle, but I don't know. Yeah. From the press box.
Yeah, we got to watch it for sure.
When you see that happen, what's your mindset? You know, you were one of the fastest guys on the field. It's like, hey, let me go What do you think?
I can't score. So, I don't know. I mean, I play defense. Pride myself on defense and special teams. And I know we got a good group. So we just got to kill X plays and help this team win.
Well, Desmond Ridder, you know, he came right in and was a stand-up guy today. Here's what he had to say on the loss.
And coming up short, obviously, that's tough for us. But, you know, I think what's great for this team is that game, there's a lot of good things to learn from. There's a lot of things that went wrong in there that, you know, that we have done, you know, right in the past, that we just did wrong out there. So there's a lot of things that, you know, us as an offense can go back and learn from, and I think it's only going to make us better.
Okay, this is the biggest issue facing the Falcons, right? Okay, we talked about this a lot during training camp and all over the offseason. It was like, okay, you're 3rd-and-1. You're 3rd in the league in rushing. Okay, next year, people are going to do what? They're going to stop the run. They're going to load up to stop the run. So what are you going to have to do? Pass the football. So we've seen that play out here in the last 4 weeks. The Lions, you know, got a couple games on tape. You go up to Detroit, they sit on the run. You go to London, they sit on the run. You come back here to Houston, they sit on the run. And then today, Washington, sit on the run. So you got to, you know, do more than just hit some shot plays, 22, 16, a couple 22 yarders, or we'll go over the big plays. You got to score. You got to score touchdowns. And so one thing I wanted to know, and I talked to both of the running backs, it's like, hey, y'all know it's going to be a loaded box. What do y'all do to bust out of there? And or how can you, or the keys to running it when they know you're going to run it? And Bijan said, hey, you know, he's got to get more physical, or we got to make him pay in the pass game. That's exactly what we've been saying. And then we also talked to Tyler Allgeier, and we're going to let you hear from both of those young men who did not have big rushing days. The Falcons did stay with it, but I think Bijan's 13 for 37, and we'll give you Allgeier's stats when we get to the notes section. But here is first, Bijan Robinson, and then second, followed by running back Tyler Allgeier.
Hey, what would be some of the keys to, you know, being able to run the ball? We know that people are in the box like they've been the last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's more just the game plan of what plays we're going to run, what run plays we're going to run, how we're going to get off, how we're going to get out. And it's more just being more physical than the other team. And, you know, we know that we can't account for everything, right. So it's still on us running backs to, you know, make moves and get what we can, get those first downs, get those long explosive runs that we want to do. But then it even opens up the pass game, so we got to execute in the pass game as well and let them back off, so we can continue to try to gash them up front. But that's really the main focus, the main goal for us.
And coach was like, you know, y'all are close. You know, almost had the conversion. Rona almost got the touchdown, and there's been another close win. How do y'all process to move on? And you know, 3-3 long season. So.
Yeah, I mean, like you just said, we got a long season, and you know, we got a lot of games that we want to win, and you know, we want to win every single game going forward. But you know, we know that, you know, from this game right here, like, yeah, it definitely sucks. But we need to come back and refocus and get our minds right, because, you know, we got a division game next week that we need to win. So we can't come out, you know, worrying about poor me or running slow. You know, we got to just not worry about it and continue to push, because, you know, when these long seasons happen, you know, we want to have the best results as possible, no matter what we do. So that's really it right there.
I was asking Bijan that, you know, what are some of the issues for the run game when they do load up the box? And Coach said they were doing that.
Yeah, obviously having, 10 guys in the box compared to six, seven? Yeah, it's a hard look. I think just hard to put a body to a body. You know, I think obviously combos and all that get to where we need to, but just having that extra guy in the box can cause issues, but that's just a guy that we have to handle, or possibly just depends on the run, I guess.
Yeah. What's the counter to that, or what could be the counter to that?
play pass. I'm not sure. Not really counters. I think just effort. I would say. I'm not sure. No comment, sorry.
What's it like when you do see 9-10 guys in the box? Like, you're standing there back, you know you're getting the ball, and you're, like, looking and seeing 9 or 10 guys.
I look at it as an opportunity. Just opportunity to make a guy miss, just staying on my track, and, just get as much yards as we can.
This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents...
Hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny...
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, episode 423. Hey, we just want to give a special thanks to some of our visitors here recently. We had David Aldridge from The Athletic to help us get ready for the Washington game. We had Jerome Solomon and Jonathan Alexander from the Houston Chronicle to help us get prepared for the Houston game. And next week, we got a special treat for you. We got Ira Kaufman, longtime Florida journalist, for Hall of Fame voter, to help us come. He's agreed to come in and help us break down the books and get us prepared for that game. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 6 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.AJC.com/podcast. That's subscribe.AJC.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, we're going to go to our notes here, and then we going to go to our bootleg Twitter mailbag. After the game, we asked, hey, Twitter/X family, what are y'all thinking after the 24-16 loss to the Commanders by the Falcons? And we got 80 comments here, so we'll go. We're going to spend some time here today and let y'all go off on the Falcons after this game. We'll read the readable ones, and we'll keep it moving in our mailbag segment today, our kind of Twitter mailbag section. So let's go to the notes here today. Drake London was the sixth captain. And let's just go over some of the other game notes here. The Falcons offense recorded 402 total net yards, and you're not supposed to lose when you get 402, but you can't throw three interceptions, so that's what the deal is there. They went over the 400 mark for the third time this season, second week in a row. Atlanta held Washington to fewer than 200 yards from scrimmage, 193. That was the first time this season they held somebody under 200. Through Sunday's early slate of games, the Falcons' defense is second in the NFL in third down conversion rate this season, allowing just 23 of 74. All right, we'll update that number throughout the week for you all. And the Falcons' defense held Washington at 2 of 10 on third down, 20%, lowest third down conversion rate Atlanta has allowed this season. Falcons, you know, we wrote about this last week. It was like, hey, they got 5 sacks. They last in the league. They got to sack this guy. He holds on to the ball. It was 29 sacks coming in. And so they did get 5 sacks. And the Falcons, before the game, they had 23 hurries and 21 hits. So they were getting pressure, just wasn't getting the sacks. And then so coach took umbrage to the fact that, hey, you got sacks today. Oh, we're getting pressure. I'm not worried about sacks. No, you get the sack. Get the sack because then, you know, something still could happen on a quarterback hit. Because that was on one play. Onyemata got a hit, and he still got the ball out for a first down. So the pressure don't really do you any good without, you know, getting the guy on the ground. So you need the sacks. Don't let them tell you you don't. So they recorded 5, the first game with at least 5 sacks since week 12 of 2020. Versus the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, that double, the sacks for the season, so now they got 10. So we got to go see how many the Giants got because they were tied for 5. And Drake London finished with 9 catches for 125, both career highs. A couple other things there. His London surpassed Calvin Ridley for the second most receptions in a player's first 23 games. In team history, he's trailing only Julio Jones, who had 101. He also tied Mike Pritchard for the most games with at least 7 receptions, 4, in a player's first 23 games in franchise history. All right, Kyle Pitts caught 4 passes for 43 yards and 1 touchdown, his first of the season and 4th of his career. Jonnu Smith recorded 4 catches for 36 and had 1 touchdown. His first of the season and the 18th of his career. To go with the sack, Calais Campbell also had 4 tackles, 2 quarterback hits, 1 tackle for loss, and that sack was his 100th of his career. All right, Nate Landman had 8 tackles for a 3rd straight game with at least 8 tackles. Bud Dupree had 4 tackles, the one missed on the RPO. 1 solo, 2 quarterback hits, 1 tackle for loss, and 1.5 sacks, bringing his total to 2 and his career total to 48.5. And Arnold Ebiketie had 2 tackles and 1.5 sacks here today. His first of the season and 4th, he's up to 4 sacks now. Grady had 2 tackles, Grady Jarrett, 2 tackles, 2 quarterback hits, 1 tackle for loss, 1 sack. And now he's up to 1.4 sacks on the season and 34 sacks over his career. All right, those are the key notes coming out of the 24-16 loss to the Washington Commanders. Next up is Tampa Bay, and we'll review them on Wednesday. But let's go to your Twitter comments. I asked you all, hey, Twitter, X family, what are y'all thinking after 24-16 loss to the Commanders by the Falcons. Leroy, Sir Leroy 83. Can somebody get thoughts on going for 2 down by 8? Also, why it took so long to get calls in on many crucial occasions. Okay, we did that on the 2-point conversion. He was saying, hey, you know, that's a gamble that they do. They did it in L.A. last year and they at the Carolina game trying to get it to 6. So, you know, if they can, you know, win the game with a touchdown and an extra point. So they're trying to put some extra heat on Washington. And as far as the crucial mistakes and the procedural stuff, sound like they were trying to juggle people in and out. You know, they had packages and you know, there was a miscommunication coming out of the huddle on one play. They had to take the delay of the game. Then he didn't want to take another one. Just was a bad operation. And I'm thinking, you know, well, hey, don't you just have a 2-minute offense and just run that? But no, they're mixing and matching, trying to get plays in and out. And so that's not a smooth, you know. I just know Matt Ryan's first year, they had 11-play no-huddle operation from the rip. And they added it over time to about 33 plays. It was called Texas. Roddy gave up all the information. But, you know, that's how they could go in and out of no huddle during the game, and Matt would call everything on the field. So, you know, clearly that's not what they were trying to do today, and it didn't look good. And coach took the blame for it. He's like, hey, it's on all of us. not on the quarterback. You know, the whole operation was shady, and he knew it. So they'll have to figure that out. He said, we haven't had that problem before, but we certainly had it today. So 2 years in a row, we got to the goal line on Washington, and Arthur Smith abandoned. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from Marcus Graham. And comment is, 2 years in a row, we got to the goal line on Washington, and Arthur Smith abandoned his tough physical philosophy to pass the ball. Both times have resulted in interceptions. It's time for Smith to take a look in the mirror and question his identity. Okay, yeah, I'm a power football guy. I hate throwing it down there. I'm going to line it up and knock you over, you know, do what I got to do. And then that was a tip pass up at Washington last year that cost them the interception by Mariota. Okay, all right, here's another one. Richard Grogan, Bama Rover 15. Maybe Caleb Williams will want to play in Atlanta. It was a bad week for prospective college quarterbacks, but Ritter isn't it. It's your thought on the quarterback. And Biz Chief, this is D Howard 405 on the Twitter. He says they need to replace Arthur Smith with better coaching skill to up the offense and trade their second pick that's going to be earned from Calvin Ridley's stellar season for Stetson Bennett. Okay, you lost me there. Get out of here. Okay, he's not. Hope he's doing well, but he with the Rams. But that don't make any sense. Okay, Maceo Woodard, Mackeyow. Arthur Smith made his QB look even worse than he would have looked on his own. Yeah, they would probably trying to do too much there. I mean, I'm writing on deadline. I'm trying to get the story together, but I'll go back and go over the film on that disorganization and see. I want to see what Matt Ryan has to say about it, too, on the broadcast. That'd be good to go. All right, here, last one here. Yeah, they're on the coach today. Nate runs five. Nate says, Art needs to look in the mirror. He needs to be better. Absolutely horrible play calling day on his part. All right, folks love going to that play calling card when the team loses. Nobody comes in there when they win on the play calling card. But that's it today from the 423rd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Really appreciate you all listening. And tell a friend there to go subscribe to the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, look forward to talking to Ira Kaufman this week. He'll be helping us preview the Falcons and the Buccaneers. Take care and have a great week.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving arts scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.